coming March concert coming March 30th. I tell you with hesitation because the youth group gets first dibs at these tickets. But I would like to know if there are any others outside of the youth group that want to go to an Andrew Peterson concert here, because I don't know if I have enough. I'll probably going to have some extra tickets. Youth group gets another shot. I will do my best to help you get your own. But if you run and get your own, I'm going to get stuck with a whole pile of tickets. I wish you'd say, hey, I really want to go to that. You make sure I get one of these. It'll be for you, if you go on your own, it's $12.50. For the youth group, don't tell them, it's $14. They're sitting in here. All right, it's $14 because it's going to cost gas, and they drop quarters everywhere anyway, so we'll just make it an even dollars. So quarters, what's a quarter? They're just going to Venmo you their money, all right? They don't have money. They just pass it around on their phone. Andrew Peterson, I told the youth group, I'll tell you, he's nasal. He sings through his nose. So his toad. I don't like his toad. But he's one of the, he, along with Michael Card and the Gettys and others, they sing. There's a depth to their songs. There's usually not perfect, not a home run, but we're looking for people that are, as you notice, the songs we're singing in here are pretty intentional. We're looking for things that are going to minister to your soul, that are going to remind you as you forget the things of heaven. You're going to find yourself whistling, humming, and these phrases will haunt. We want the music to be intentional. You're not going for just your style. You're going for something that'll edify and reflect back the character of God. Andrew Peterson's heading in that direction. That's what we're excited about. He's going to be in Glen Mills. It's about an hour away or so. On March 30th, so 7 o'clock concert down there. Speak to me if you want to be a part. Seven last words. Good Friday, April 7th. Wow, I've got four of you already. I breathed it, and you guys hit the ground running with that. Very thankful. We're looking for 5 to 7 minutes. Some of you will leak and sin and go 12 or 15. Just imagine what happens if you do 7 times 15, plus the endless songs that John David comes up with, plus the scripture readings. Well, then you might as well bring your sleeping bag. So try that. Somebody will be in here and do 2 minutes. Okay. And if you do 2 minutes, don't say I did 2 minutes and stick out your tongue and sit down. Just, it's a reverent night. So jokes aside, we're not looking to just fill these positions. We're looking for holy otherness that night. If Christ didn't live, die, and raise again, we have nothing. We're not looking for perfection from you either in your speaking or in your life. We are looking for a life that believes these things and shows by living it. Then you take with seriousness, you know, I got it here. Read the passage. Study any related verses, develop a rough outline, study commentaries, background books, make your final outline, spend time in prayer. There's a thing here. It helps you study. It's good for you. I don't even care then if a few people cry their way through it or stumble their way through it. I hated public speaking. Hated it. But finally when you realize, no, I want to be a part of these things. I want to be growing in these. Well, then carefully, because I'm trying to look at the needs of the body, the needs of the service there, right? You got to be willing to be pushed around a little bit. It means you're not always going to get in. Maybe you need to wait a year or two. But somebody grab these. It's been a special thing for the last 20 years. I have left... number one, Father, forgive them, for they don't know, and they know not what they do. The third one, woman, behold your son, behold your mother. And then the sixth one, it is finished. Okay, so that's coming up. Okay, and now, ready to start. I'm also cleaning out my Bible. I'm working off of digital now, so anybody wants, what do I got, 2 Peter 1. Notes here from the last, everything except last week. I keep the last week for another week or two. Anybody who wants any of those, and you know there's a lot of repeat. Every week I condense what we did the weeks before and put it in the beginning there. So it gets tighter, tighter through the top. But we want to open it up and then hopefully live it. But if anybody wants these, grab them or they go to the garbage can. And meaning, if you throw them out, that's okay, because they're going in my garbage can or your garbage can. We can't do everything. They're not inspired. They're helpful. I've sung this a bunch. Some of you have sung it on your own. There are more songs than we can ever get as a church together. We're trying to find ones that we can sing together and minister to one another with. We have to sing them 5, 6, 7, 8 times before they're in our heads. This is a keeper. So, Father, as we start this morning, would you work that other focus inside of our heart? We've heard John 3, that which is of the flesh is flesh, that which is of the spirit is spirit. So, Father, would you work in us the great gulf between us and you? Then help us to worship as we think of the song we sing, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Thank you for becoming one of us. Thank you, Father, for living with us. Not even like the angels just coming to say something and then disappearing, but walking with us, for leaving and saying, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Thank you for your spirit. We don't understand. I don't. So much argument about the spirit, so much focus on how our feelings and our life are to fit together. Father, would you teach us to patiently worship in the unknowns and in the hardship, to be able to have a God who is over, that we can say, I don't understand, I don't get it, and I'm here. But thank you for emotion. Thank you for tears. Thank you for fears. All of them reminding us that we weren't meant to walk alone. Thank you for giving us your spirit, your word. People of God, help us, Lord. We're prone to just compare, to find where somebody's untrustworthy and not holy. But Father, if you're going to get the credit, this treasure in earthen vessels, then there's something else among those that are trusting you. Not perfect faith, but right-focused faith in Christ alone. And it's a gift to be able to have other sinners who are sinning in different ways than us, to maybe push our buttons, and that should drive us back to you, that maybe hit hard, and we didn't like it, and it drives us back to you. But then, Father, thank you that you drive us right back to them, because we have a job in their lives as well. And so we have a work to do today. We are, there's a horizontal aspect, but we come before you as one of the groups of believers on the earth at this time. And we ask that we be faithful to do our part in our lives so that if you don't return, that it passes on beyond us. So there are those that are faithful to proclaim your excellencies until you do return. Help us to be ready. Come in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. Such a familiar passage. You know where we're going. We've been talking about a corrective to a problem. It's very pertinent as we're talking about the revival in Asbury. Let me just say this. You're going to hear things dropping from me at different times about that. There's a million articles out there in the circles that we're comfortable with, okay, that are talking about it. It was interesting to see one of those articles saying, you know what, I don't think people are so much assessing what is happening at Asbury as much as talking about what we already think about the place of revival and what revival means. And why is this pertinent? Because this is what the journal that they were talking about in this video here at the last Southern Baptist Convention was called Revival and Revivalism. Okay? So if we're going to pick out what are wrong fruit or results of supposed right actions, calling people to repentance and faith, well, then what are the right things? Like a chainsaw artist, you cut away part of the wood, and what's left? What's good? What do you want to build up? And that's what the part is we've been working on now. He said, okay, what happens? And off the cuff, he mentions four things. All right, he says, all right, we need to preach about God's holiness, man's sinfulness, Christ's righteousness, and carrying our cross. All right? We talked about two of them. You guys do well if you remember anything, because we've done leapfrog, Tim and I, the last few weeks here, right? Yay. Did he finish that thing? Did he say he finished last week? He said he didn't. Okay, good. He's learning. Like me, the loaves can get multiplied, right? Jody did the same thing. She used to do a chapter a month with the Women's Fellowship. Now they're kind of growing too. Okay, but no, jokes aside, it isn't meant to go forever. You remember what I said on Wednesday? The most dangerous thing in the world is if we're sitting under God's word and nothing's taking place. That's dangerous, because Jesus went to that word with the devil. He didn't out lightsaber him. He took him to the word. He did that to the discouraged men on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, right? You know, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. 2 Peter 1 that we memorize, right? We have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Remember I told you my weird example of that? I drove home with a full moon. I thought, wouldn't this be cool to turn off my headlights and just let the moon do it? Well, I did that, and I couldn't see the road, right? But there was a moon up there. Now take the moon away and turn off your headlights and drive. That's what that verse is saying. You do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. You turn the word off, you have nothing. And you stay there until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. So we sit in here and we just go, I know, and I still keep going to my pistachio God. Every time I say that, you either make fun of me or you look at your God, right? Meaning, what really makes it better in your life? Not what do you say makes it better. What do you think makes it better? What makes it better? All right? That's why we're slowing down. The goal is, as we learn to process, remember, a long time ago I thought, we're done with giving healthy Bible studies, all right? We need reproducing soul-level growth. As we learn to do that, it'll always be a fight. You're never going to get to a place where it's always, you're always going to do the right thing. And you go, well, yes, I have these habits. No. We're not talking about just disciplined lives. You do need to be disciplined. We're talking about Spirit-led, Romans 8, with what Spirit-led means. Spirit-led, all right, Christ-controlled life, the love of Christ. We're talking about it in Romans 8 this morning. What does, if you have the love from God, what do you have? All right, think about that as Romans 8. When you hear all that stuff, I'm convinced nothing will separate me from the love of God. Sit there and go, why is he convinced? And now look at the other parts of his life and then go, how does that play out in his life? Not just helping him endure, but endure to do what? Okay? With that in mind, as we look, we said, all right, we're not going to just let this roll off, because my goal is not that you just go, preach God's holiness, that during the week you go home and say, bleh, I'm in a funk. Then I need to pull out everything I know about the holiness of God. You heard Harold a few weeks ago. Why do you need the holiness of God? In case your daughter gets raped, your house. Something that's sickening. That there's nothing that you can do about it. What are you going to do with that? Instead of going, meh, you need, like Job, to be confronted. Not just, silence or I'll blast you. If you're not careful, that's what we think of God. You need something that you see and you go, I knew you. I thought I knew you. But now, right? Whatever that passage is. Now I see you with my and I worship. I don't just shut up. I worship. That's what we're looking for. Whatever we need to grow in to say, why does bad things happen to, quote, good people, whatever that means. We need to see something about God's holiness, right? Man's sinfulness here. Christ's righteousness. So the normal question is, all right, let's see. Bling, bling, holiness, sinfulness. Ha, it's empty. Ha, ha. We're going to fill it up. If we preach Christ's righteousness, it will lift up what? It will guard against what? All right, here we go. Verse 7. Philippians 3:7, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Well, you know what? Back up. Philippians 3, I'm not going to read the whole thing, or we'll just read the whole book of Philippians. But here, look at verse 6. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Lest you think we throw out the law, Romans 7 says we don't throw out the law, all right? So be careful with that. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. In order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, mature, developed, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have obtained. Brethren, join in following my example. Observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I've often told you, now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, their desires, whose glory is what they should be ashamed of, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity to the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Now, we're going to talk about Christ's righteousness. You can do it through this passage. We could sit here and unpack this passage the whole morning, and fine if we do. But this is what we're talking about: how does the righteousness of Christ fit into this whole the energy, the focus, the drive, the purpose, the way of living. All right, I'm going back to what Holly had said a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night. We talked about if these qualities are yours and increasing. We haven't even gotten to that verse yet. But what qualities? Moral, excellence, knowledge, I can't remember them, self-control, there it is, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. She, remember what she said? She was saying, well, you know what? Why aren't we doing more of these? It says these are to be pouring out of your life. Why are we not even focusing on them? She says, because you're focused on all the other things that have to get done. Like, oh, shoot, I forgot to put the trash out, and the trash truck is out there right now. Right? That you drop everything. Got to go to the bathroom. You got to pay your bills. Doesn't matter. Get the trash can out to the front, or you're going to be smelling it all week. Right? Well, you feel like your whole life is filled with that. And he's saying those character qualities need to be going on while all that other stuff is going on. Right in here, it's talking about who set their mind on earthly things. Well, you go, whoa, I got to get rid of the trash. Yes, you do. You got to buy clothes and you got to make your bed. So it's not getting rid of it. We're not saying to be so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. We're saying a heavenly mind makes us earthly good. Now go ahead. I'm done. Look at this up here. Whatever you want to say about Philippians 3, and then we're building this page here. Jim, go.
Blanks here. This lifts up my courage and keeps me from backing down from obstacles in my way.
All right. He's been thinking about this. So we're going to, as we dump this out, we're going to need to, I'm going to ask how and where. It keeps me from what? From backing down, keeps moving forward. The only reason I have a question mark there is I want that developed, but I don't want to lose your thoughts, okay? I want to think, how? You got to connect it to righteousness. Otherwise, we have a hard enough time thinking about Christ's righteousness. How are we going to get from Christ's righteousness to courage? And he has an answer, but I want you to, let's just dump this stuff on the table here. What are you thinking? Where are you going? Yeah, Jonathan, go. Yep.
Preaching Christ's righteousness frees us from the weight of condemnation under the law and then frees us to serve joyfully.
Okay. Keeps us from living under condemnation. I'm going to say the law, but please be careful with how you look at the law. And you go, well, wait, wasn't the law fulfilled? Yes, it was. But as you start reading in Matthew 5 to 7, you start reading in Romans 7, you better do a lot more studying before you just go, out with that, in with what? For the law of the Spirit, whatever in Romans 8, set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, Christ did. Okay, and you go, he did it so that what? So that you don't walk according to the flesh. Oh, that sounds like following the law again. It's just another way back in there. You got to figure out what that looks like. But if you preach the righteousness of Christ in a right way, if you understand the bridge between Christ's righteousness and your salvation, it frees you from living under condemnation. It allows you, this is what we've been working on in youth group, to serve, listen, with joy. Joy. Serve. Membership class, we're going to talk about things that are valued here at Cornerstone. We believe it's biblical, not just Cornerstone, but we are looking for faithfulness. All right? Not to me, not to them, but those that are faithful to the head of the church, that's very important to them. And we're looking for servants, not of me, him, them. All right? Servants of Jesus Christ. You think, what is normal for a servant? Once you finally figure that out, how do you do it with joy? This, if you understand, and we have the righteousness of Christ rightly preached, there's a path to serving with joy. You going to keep going? Go.
Well, more practically answering this question.
Go.
If we rightly understand the first two things.
Yeah, holiness, sinfulness.
Our sin
will
be,
toward this.
It'll be right up front. We're going to be
there,
lifting up our sin. But this Looking at Christ's righteousness allows us to lift that up beyond our sin.
All right.
Our sin doesn't matter because Christ's righteousness is covering
it. Right. Did you hear that? If we are preaching the gospel rightly, your sin will be right in front of you. All right? We've had people come in through the years and go, I always feel so bad in this church. I feel like I'm never good enough. Okay, that could be a problem. And that's why when we get done with this whole thing, we're going to ask, what if these... grinning because we're all imperfect with this. But if these were in somewhat of a balance, these four things, all right, why would that lead, for those that have been prepared to respond, why would that lead to healthy growth or, as in their terms, revival, not revivalism? Why would there be the Spirit free to work? All right? And he's saying, if you don't have sin, all right, we were talking... we're working through that youth packet. If you want that, the winter trip packet is around whatever we've been talking about in youth group, okay? The summer trip packet, we're trying to work on helping them to read some of the key, some good books, all right? Solid books. I'm very concerned that once they get out, everybody's like, I'm not a reader, and then somebody will push something on you. Okay, what's your grid through which you determine what you're going to take in? That's what we're looking for. Okay, but this winter one, we were looking at 1 John 5, and we're still working on that in youth group here. It says, those that love God, keep his commandments, all right? And they love God, they love the children of God. And then right in the middle of that, it says, and you prove that you love him when his commandments are not burdensome. I said, what does that make you think of? I was talking to somebody afterwards, and they said, it makes me think that maybe I don't love God like I think I do. All right, well, there's the man's sinfulness. Well, you can either sit on that and just keep beating yourself endlessly, saying, oh, I don't love God like I think I do. I don't love God like I do. Or I said, what does that make you do? And that one said, well, it makes me then think that I need to love God more. I said, you will never ask God for help to love him more if you think you love him enough. See, but it has to be intention. If you don't have any solution, you just, every time you look at God, it's going to be crippling. This is the answer to that, all right? That's what you got to see. If we had time, you'd pick it through in Philippians 3. I put that there not only for a backdrop of what we're talking about today, but you go back, study everything you got on Philippians 3, and it doesn't answer all of this, but there's a lot in there, and the righteousness of Christ plays a big role inside of Philippians 3, okay? So, can you remember anywhere where you, what were you saying? When sin is in the front, what?
Sin will be in the front.
Yeah. All right, lifts Christ's righteousness above our sin. All right, get scared if you can hear all cross blood, Christ in songs, and you're feeling ho hum and watching a bug on a window. All right, because that's the answer to every bit of guilt and shame you feel incorrectly or correctly. Christ's righteousness. Sheldon.
I kind of like how Paul, when I read this here, he went from self-righteousness to lifting Christ's righteousness. And if we see ourselves as Paul saw himself here afterwards, that he had no righteousness of his own, and the righteousness that's in Christ that he's trying to obtain, it keeps you from living a life of self-righteousness.
All right, so just pull this out of Christianese, okay? I say self-righteousness and start filling out that world. Self-righteousness. Say what comes to your mind. Self-righteousness. Go. Just talk, no mic, talk. I can do it myself. Self, go. A personalized standard. That's the hurt look on your face, like clean the dishes. I did, right? No, you didn't. See, and that fight that goes on there is saying, Does it always have to be your way? And you're right. Somebody else is, people love to tell other people their standard. That's true. But the flip side of that is, does it always have to be your way? The flip side of that is, personalized standard, I can do this myself. Self-righteousness, where does it live? Go. Go. Yes. Yes. All I have to do, we were joking about that yesterday, is we were moving boxes. Like, well, I moved 2 boxes. Well, I moved 10. 10. They were flying up in the air and over my back, and I carried them all by myself. And it's like, yeah, there went your back. All right? I'm like, no. My back is steel. Right? So we could joke all day long about this, right? But it becomes our identity. See, that's why, think on this. When we're not preaching the holiness of God, there's not, he's always above. He's not just inside this church. If we finally collect all our powers together, we finally have holiness. Uh-uh. It's above that, right? Man's sinfulness. You're bad. No. Remember, if I say you're bad, God says you're worse. Right? If you say you're bad, God says you're worse. Right? Don't go, no, you're better. God looks up there and goes, honey, you're not that bad. That's not what the Bible says. It says you're worse. But in here, when you look at the righteousness of Christ, all right, this is what it's saying. There is a way for you to belong, to be loved. And then you go, well, he don't love me unless he gives me his righteousness. Look, he gave you his righteousness when? While you were yet sinners. He died for you, right? In that despicable state. What, you know, you go, well, you calling me despicable? It's like, wait, I don't have to. He did. But this is the answer to that. So when you sit here and think we're elevate, I don't know how to stop that. And that's why there's a lot of smack talk here from the front. The smack talk is dangerous because it can breed more, too much smack talk. And we got to remember that. I learned that in college, that if you practical joke your roommates, it can quickly get out of hand. All right. You start getting rip sheets and rip clothes and whatever. All right. It was fun until it got out of hand. Okay. Well, the same as we smack with each other, we need to realize, guys, how do we change? How do we change? If you think you're more, you know, disciplined than they are, you may be. But somehow, God will not get the glory if you're so amazing. He only had to just nod at you and go, you know what? You don't need any work. Just join my team. That's what we're talking about. So self-righteousness is something that levels the playing field. Now, if you're running around going, you think you're better than me, but you're not. You think you're better than me, but there's something wrong then with us. You need to let other people be better than you. I'm talking to myself. You can push this right back on me, right? We're talking biblically. We're trying, because once you figure out self-righteousness, good, we're good. We're good at straining out unholiness somewhere else. We're not good when anybody comes back at us and goes, it's in your life, and they go, I know, leave me alone. All right? What's the answer? God's holiness, our sinfulness in relation to him, not in relationship to ourselves. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid when we all say we're sinners, we're thinking about where we're embarrassed about ourselves. That's not what God's saying. It's where we are out of fellowship with him. Christ's righteousness, then, is what speaks louder than our sin, and it cuts against our self-righteousness. If we had time, you need to go home and keep thinking. What else would characterize self-righteousness? You can't have his word cut into your heart if you're still focused on I need, I want. Go ahead. Where you got, Pastor? No. Here, whoever. Harold, go.
Someone who's self-righteous stamps themselves with a mature stamp. So right. Instead of the spectrum, sanctification being a spectrum, they're not humbly seeing themselves at the right spot at it. They see themselves as not attained Christ likeness, but they see themselves way up in the spectrum, higher than they actually are.
Right, and that's why this Philippians passage is a heavy one to live by. Whatever, I've listened to people for years saying, well, I'm not Paul. Okay, well, how about the, you know, and they're focusing on his holiness, his service, his attitude, his, you know, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. You know, kind of, he always gets back up no matter how much he's pushed. All right, Energizer Bunny just keeps going and going and going. How about you focus on him saying, not that I have already attained it or have become perfect, the word teleos, mature, mature. That's why I say it's a relative term. Are there people in here more mature than others? Yes. By whose standard, and what will that maturity do? And you go, not tell they're mature? I don't know. Careful. Paul goes, you follow me as I follow Christ. But you got it. Then we're going to have to build this very carefully. Very carefully. Okay? If you're going to end up continuing faithfully with that endless sense of not that I have already obtained it or become perfect. There is a humility inside of what Harold was saying. So self-righteousness focuses on mature. That's why a lot of the smack you hear from me in the front is, you're mature. And why is it smack? Because you realize when I call out your maturity, that you're going to turn right around. It's just instinct to call out my maturity, right? It's instinct. And that's why I get pounded, and that's God's gift to me to help me to realize I am not the standard of maturity. I need to be holy. But the smack comes because it's hard, guys. Do you like to be riddled with bullets? And you go, I'm not whining just for my position. That comes with a position. But the more you're doing your job as a Christian, you're going to get riddled. Because you're going to be caring for other people's lives, who as you try to care for them, they're going to quickly tell you you're not caring right, and they're going to start picking apart your life. If you're focused on the righteousness of Christ, you can keep going. If you're not, you're going to sit on the sideline in the pit, needing the pit crew to work on you the rest of your life. It keeps you from too low of a ceiling on maturity. I don't know, however you want to say that better, because that Harold's right. Harold's right with that. Tracy? No, pardon, go.
Scripture that just keeps coming to my mind.
Oh, yep, sorry about the stick.
The scripture that keeps coming to my mind as
we're
discussing
talking.
This... do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Look not only to your own interests, but the interests of others, that your attitude would be the same as that of Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's a chapter before, right? So now we're not just looking at Paul's example, we're looking where Paul's looking, and that's at what Christ gave up. So Philippians 2, 3 to 4. It lifts up Christ. And I'm only grinning because we've heard Christ, 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 Christ. What do you think of? The only person who cares about Christ is the person that wants to be right with God. Other than that, he's just one among many. One among many. So as you think about, it lifts up Christ, Philippians 2, I don't know, it was 2 to 4, something like 3 to 4. Yeah, whatever. 2, 1 to 5, it's all good stuff. Okay, but it's in there. Okay, anybody else? This is good. The goal isn't to hit a home run. The goal is to stimulate what you're looking for, even in a sermon. Instead of going, well, I don't know what Pastor Jones is talking about. Look for God's holiness. Look for man's sinfulness. Look for Christ's righteousness. Look for the call to carry your cross. Something else? Okay, I'll let it rest. Let's go to the next one, right? You can find more on here, but there we go. Well, all right, here, give me that. I said I'd leave courage up there with a question mark. All right, so then why does this give us courage? Go back to that. Why does it give us courage to preach the righteousness of Christ? Yeah, Pastor, go.
Because I acknowledge Philippians 1:6, I can do all things through Christ.
Okay, so now... All right, so we did Philippians 3, Philippians 2, Philippians 1. Good, you got the book, right? And Philippians 4? Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There you go. There's your joy in there. Good. We covered Philippians. Move on to the next book. Okay? Philippians 1:6. Now, finally, instead of just going, like what we, back to Sheldon said, see, I can do all things through Christ. There you go. See, I'm more disciplined than you. Look, I carried all those boxes, right? And then you can finally, the through Christ becomes the important part, right? If you tie what we've been saying here in 3 and 2 and 1. Now, all of a sudden, instead of just giving God the thumbs up for the touchdown, you recognize in him I live and move and have my being. this touchdown, whatever it is. Yay, they're all cheering, okay? But heaven is cheering. Why? Hebrews 12, right? Since you have so great a cloud of witnesses, right? They're calling us on, right? Let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. The righteousness of Christ, right? The righteousness of Christ was tarnished by the cross. Down here it was, even for his disciples, right? The holiness of God is tarnished. How could he be the perfect Son of God if he's put on the bottom of Roman, right? You're treated like the slaves and thrown on a cross, right? For this reason, Philippians 2, God highly exalted him. 1 Corinthians 1, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the wisdom. I think it's power of God. Either one, they're both in that passage there. But I was thinking power, that's back in Ephesians 3, the verse my mom's always running around saying, now to him who is able to exceed abundantly beyond all we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that gives life to your mortal body. You better think on how that works or you'll fill it in. See, I won the race, therefore it was Christ's power. Back to what Sheldon said, that if we're not careful, that's really self-righteousness. And that well-meaning Christians forever have focused on the fruits. And you go, we need the fruits. Yes, you do, but it better come from Christ. Or it's a mess. Somebody else want to comment? Go, Sheldon. It's coming. Go.
It can give you the courage to stand before King Agrippa even a prodigal in the street. Like, you don't see yourself above or beneath them. You can stand there in boldness and preach Christ's righteousness because we know that as human beings, we're on an equal level. It doesn't matter, like, how much other people elevate you or lower you.
There you go. Or the prodigal on the street. There you go. In some ways, you're going to get more chances to deal with the prodigal. And if you don't have the righteousness of Christ, you're going to feel like, you know what? Just because I'm around these people, I'm better than them. Which is going to make you not hate the prodigal so much as want to rub shoulders with somebody else so that you don't look so dirty. Are you living the righteousness of Christ? Well, that's the same thing that'll keep you with the prodigal before they before they repent. And it'll also, when you get before King Agrippa, not make you cower. That's what's amazing to me here. Paul's in trial after trial. You go, whoa, yeah, he's Paul. Talking before everyone who can slit his throat, right? He goes, well, I don't care. They can slit my throat. Look what he's saying. And you go, I'm not into personal evangelism. I don't know how to talk about my faith. Anne, what are you thinking?
Like, towards the end of the chapter, it's talking about like our people who are like in like the worldly or thinking that their mind on worldly and earthly things, but then Paul reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven.
Good night.
So that for me helps me to have courage that this life isn't all there is, and that we are to be awaiting the Savior in heaven.
You realize that's what kills us so much when your spouse, what, leaves you, cheats on you? Your children, everybody says they look like you, they act like you, and it's all your worst characteristics. What are you going to do when that's true? That everything you've been saying in here, everything in here you've been saying, is if that you are affected by the people that you're tied with. But if that's all there is, then you will lose courage because people will be glad to remind you. Why are you telling me this? Why don't you get your own life together? if our citizenship is in heaven, you have to ask why. It's because of the righteousness of Christ. You belong there. You belong there. He said so. And he didn't say so because you paid him off, because you gave him your best chocolate chip cookies, right? I'm thinking about the horrible things you'll start hearing that Jews did to stay alive and not be thrown into the burners, right? As they sold their bodies, sold anything. So what do you want? I'll do it. What do you want? Anything. Anything you want, you can have it. Just give me my life. You didn't have to do that to God. He did, right? What the law could not do, he did. And then that ends with an and. So therefore, your citizenship is in heaven. So there's more to what's down here. So you don't have to hide the rest of your life. You don't have to hide. There's something beyond their spitting. You go, well, they shouldn't spit on me. Whatever. And that's when people say, well, they spit on Jesus. But you need to be identified with Christ and believe that you belong with Christ, or else all that stuff just makes you feel worse. And right, the courage comes then from saying, this life isn't all there is. I belong with him. That paper means a lot to us, right? That birth certificate, that citizenship, right? That passport. That's why the youth are going to go see Niagara Falls, and we can't get over the Canadian side like we used to. All you parents used to give me the birth certificates. That was scary enough to have their original birth certificates. Now we can't get over without a real passport that costs an extra $100, right? What does that paper mean to you that your citizenship is in heaven? I'm not going on now, so was there a last thought? This is good. You listen for this in the sermon. You know what? That I'm going to do the last one. Then I'm going to ask, how, as these work against, Jonathan started building that, I want you to play them against one another, and you look for that. You're reading the book of Esther this week, 2 Chronicles. Where are you reading? You start looking for these things about God. They're not the only things. They're just some code hooks to be able to look. Because we get to the last one, Mark Dever is going to say, here's the fruits of healthy preaching. Okay? Here's the fruits. And he's going to talk about five things that a love for God and a love for others will lead to inside of a church. He's going to talk about discipling, evangelism, raising up leaders, church planting, and missions. Okay? And so there's life inside. Lord, would you help us as we're thinking about these things? I'm praying that this would blossom into conversations in our own hearts, in our own homes, amongst one another, that you would help us to be able to get over those barriers of, I don't know, feeling like we're saying or doing the right things, but our life isn't backing it up, so it's all fake. And you help us to just start talking about these things. Never did a man speak like this, they said about Jesus. And so, Father, we talk about these words of life. I don't know where Paul's sinfulness is and if something was his opinion. And I don't know how that fits in with the divine inspiration of Scripture. I know that where Paul was looking was to one who was above reproach in every way, like us, yet without sin. I do know that they're all pointing to a way that we can be reconciled with God, where you get the glory and we are joyful in our service and thankful amid all the other emotions we have, real pain, real betrayal, real seasons of brokenness. But in the middle of that is a hope, a courage not just to exist, but to live for the glory of God and to proclaim your excellencies to those you put in our life. Work these things. Continue to work these things. In Jesus' name, amen.